Begin the current daf, Masechet Chulin daf Mem Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Mem Gimel Mem Beis, five lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous stuff, and that is the Gemara had brought a discussion, Machlekes, regarding Turbetz HaVeshet, the cord of the esophagus, which is the uppermost part of the Veshet. How much of that would be considered a tarfus, that it's considered a non-viable animal if it has a hole? Rav said with a small amount, because he said that's an area of where the animal could be slaughtered. So it's just like the rest of the veshed, where a tarfus is a nekev b'mashu. Shmuel said, no, it needs to be severed in a hole in the majority, because it's not an area of where it's slaughtered, therefore it does not have the severity of the esophagus, and therefore it has to be in the rife. Now, there was an incident where Rav had combined the stringencies of Rav and Shmuel. And he said that they had started doing the slaughtering in the Tarbetz HaVeshet, and then did the majority of it in the Veshet itself. So said Rava, it's a treif, it's not kosher. Why? Because he's combining the stringencies of Rav and Shmuel. He's saying, like Rav, that it's already a treif with a mashu. But what do you mean a mashu? It's the beginning of the slaughtering. No, he's saying like Shmuel, that's not the mokam hashchita. And therefore, if you combine both their opinions, it's going to be a non-kosher animal, because it was a treif when you started the slaughtering, the Tarbetz HaVeshet, where although you only did a little bit, but Rav says all you need is a mashu. But although Rav says it's a makam shechita, and therefore it's part of the slaughtering, no, like Shmuel, where it's not a makam shechita. And that continues the Gemara, and Omar Mar Bered Ravina, he says, Misvina Tiyufta Klapisani de Rava. He says, I have a refutation that will go against the enemies of Rava, which is really euphemistically, because he really wants to refute Rava. But since he's quoting a pasuk that says, "Vaksil b'chayish chaylech," which says the fool goes in darkness, he doesn't want to call Rav a fool. Therefore, he says it against the enemies of Rav, but really he's refuting what Rav had said. The halacha, the Braisa says, "La'olam hilchas k'divrei b'Hillel." The halacha is always like the school of Hill, but v'areitz alas k'divrei b'Shammai Eisef. If someone wants to do like the school of Shammai, he could do k'divrei b'Hillel Eisef, or he could do like the school of Hill. Now, however, if Mikuli Beishamim Mikuli Beisil, but if he picks the leniencies of Beishamim, the leniencies of Beisil, so Rashi then he's a wicked person. Now, it's a good type of Mimdal Min Alef. Mikhrumi Beishamim Mikhrumi Beisil, but if he picks only the stringencies of the school of Shamim, the stringencies of the schools of Hill, now what that specifically means is the first parak says in the Erevin of Zayin Min Alef, what does it mean two stringencies? It means two stringencies that actually contradict each other. For example, the halacha of a spine or a skull, that there's a machlekes b'shamis hil regarding tumas oil, if it's still considered the intact skull and spine, which is metame in the oil. B'shami is stringent. They say that it's going to still contaminate until it's missing at least two vertebrae. B'shil is more lenient. Then they say that no, even if it's missing one vertebrae, it's already not going to be metame anymore. Now, the Gemara says that v'chin l'treifa, that it comes out inversely, that the opposite regarding if the animal is considered a treifa when it's missing how much vertebrae. According to Basil, already missing one vertebrae, it's already considered missing. That's why it's not metame oil, but that's what's already a treifa, which is a stringency. According to Bishamai, it's still going to be kosher. So Bishamai in this situation is lenient, and Basil is going to be machmer, is going to be stringent. So in that, what we're referring to over here is that if someone does by treifas, like the stringency of Beis Hillel, that he considers already a treifa with already missing one vertebrae, yet by tuma, he goes and he follows the stringency of Beis Shammai, says that it's going to be tame up until it's missing two vertebrae. Allah akasav aymar, and him the pasuk says in Keheles, haksil b'chei shechaylech, the fool goes in darkness. He's a fool because here he's considering it as missing when there's just one vertebrae missing. And here, by tuma, he's not considered missing. That's foolish, because that's they're contradictory. They can't be both true. Now, therefore, the question that he's asking on Rav is the same thing. Rav contradicts himself. Because since he's saying that he's following Rav that says that the hole in the Turbetz HaVeshet to be a treifas, even with a small amount, obviously it's because that's considered a makam shechita. And that was the whole logic of Rav. Yet then he's picking the stringency of Shmuel and saying, no, it's not an area of shechita. But if it's not an area of shechita, then it shouldn't be possible with a mashu. So it comes out that his words, the stringencies he's picking are contradictory, and therefore, that's a fool going in darkness. Ella rather says, the b'raisa, iki b'shamay kikulein b'chuchum rein. You pick one or the other, because they both can't be true, the stringencies. Either you pick the school of Shammai, like their leniencies and their stringencies, iki b'shil kikulein b'chuchum rein, or like b'shil, like their leniencies and their stringencies. Now, before the Gemara concludes the question, the Gemara first asks on the b'raisa, Hagufa Kasha. The b'raisa seems to be contradicting itself. Amrit, you open up the b'raisa saying, Lo ilm halacha k'div b'sil, halacha falls like b'sil. V'hadatani, and then you say, V'reitz alas k'div b'shamay yasin. Whoever wants to do like b'shamay could do. How's that possible? Says Gemara Leikach, it's not difficulty. Kan koidim baskel. The end of the second sentence of the Braisa that says if you want to do like Bishami, you could do is talking about before the heavenly voice came out from heaven, describing that the halacha is like Basil. However, the first statement was talking about after the heavenly voice had came out, as is brought in the first Pek and Erevin, that a Baskel came out and said, Allah is like Basil. So the other statement was really was before the Baskel. Or if you want, you could say, no, Aflacha Baskel. You could even say that the second sentence, that you could do like Bisham if you want to, is even after the heavenly voice came out, that Allah falls like Basil. But Rabbi Shuhi, it's going like Rabbi Shuhi, as the Gemara brings about Mitzidah from the Testament Beis. The Alma, Imashkechem Mevaskel, it says, we don't pay attention to a heavenly voice. Loi Bashamayim, we decide, and therefore a person, there could be schools of thought that follow the school of Bishamim. But that's to explain the halacha of the Braisa. But Mekamakam Kashab, it says the Gemara, this is the difficulty on Rava, where you can't do like two exclusive stringencies which actually contradict each other, and yet that is what Rava did. So Amar Rav Tavis, Rav Tavis answers for Rava, and he says it's not difficult, because actually Kula Karav Avda. It's not like we had said before that Rava was picking the stringencies of Rav and Shmuel, which are actually contradicting each other to make the animal into a trefa. No, actually his opinion was following the entirety of the opinion of Rav. Because the Chiyasa Rami by Yecheskel Amar, because actually when Rami by Yecheskel came, he said, like Tatsisu Lahu, don't pay attention, Lahani Klali, the Kail Yehudi Achim, Yishmei Rab, that my brother Yehuda set over these categories in the name of Rab, because generally when there's a teaching of Rab that were mentioned in the later generations, it was Rav Yehuda who had said it in the Beis HaMedrash. So when his brother Rami Yecheskel came along, he says, no, don't pay attention to the way he had said it, which was, we had originally quoted in the interpretation of Rav's opinion why he holds Torbetz HaVeshed is going to be a trefa with even just a mashahu, because it was explained, which this is, as the Gemara is telling us now, is really Rav Yehuda explained the name of Rav, because it's a makam shchita, and that says, no, hachim Rav, this is what Rav said. Veshed nasnu b'chacham mishir. Rav was quoted as saying that for the esophagus, the sages had given a measurement until how much of the esophagus is valid to be slaughtered. So Mechlal, the inference is, the Turbetz HaVeshet lav makam shchitahu. Obviously, you cannot slaughter on the whole esophagus, which is telling us that all the way on the top, the Turbetz HaVeshet is not an area of where it could be slaughtered. And even so, the Kamar B'mashu, who still Rav said, that still the Turbetz HaVeshet is a trefa with a small hole, which is not because it's a makam shchitah. No, because you're limited to how much you could. It's not a makam shchitah. Now, if it's not a makam shchita, then why is it limited to a mashu? Why isn't it like Shmuel then, like we had explained, that it should be berubik, it's not the makam shchita? So that's because it's the same thing like you have by the trachea, where there, whether it's in a place where we know there's hagrama, that there's place in the trachea that you can't do the shchita, yet no matter if it's the makam shchita or not, it always has the same measurement of berubai, here also it's always going to have the same measurement of b'mashu, and therefore it's not contingent on being a makam shchita. It could be as this is what Rabbi Mechizkel is explaining in Rav, that even though it's not a makam shchita, it would still be a tarfes b'mashu, and that's exactly what Rav was saying, that when they started the slaughtering in the Turbetz HaVeshet, although it's just a small amount, even though it's not a makam shchita, it's going to be, and that's exactly why it's not considered part of the shchita, so it's considered a hole in the esophagus, and that would be even b'mashu, and that's totally like Rav, it's not considered haksil b'chay shechaylech. So the Gemara explains now, so lamaila ad kama. So high, how high, like Rav had said, there's a limit to where you could slaughter in the esophagus. So how high could you do it if you can't do the entirety of the esophagus? So Rav Nachman, he says, ad kedei tfisas yad. Until the amount that you could grab a hold with your hand, meaning that you have to leave on the top, like 3 or 4 finger breaths from the top, that's not part of the area that you could slaughter. And it says, gemara lamata ad kama, until how low in the esophagus could you slaughter? So Rav Nachman, Rabbi Baravu, he says, Ad Kadeshi Yasser, until the area where in the esophagus, until it gets hairy, where there's hair that they would scrape off with a knife from the inner paunch, which is that first stomach that the esophagus goes into, until it gets hairy, that's the area of the esophagus that you could do the slaughtering. Now, this says the Gemara, is that really so? But Vam Ravina Amagineva Mishmei de Rav, he said in the name of Rav, that Tefach Beveshet Samach Likeres, a tefach of the esophagus, all the way down near that paunch, near that first stomach, zehu keres apanimi. That's what's known in halacha as the inner paunch, which we had mentioned this in the previous daf, which ultimately it's called the keres, it's called part of the paunch, which the Gemara at this point assumes that the hair does not go at all into the esophagus. And therefore, this lower part of the esophagus, that tefach, is part of the keres. So the difficulty is that you're saying that you could do it up until where it gets hairy. The problem is that the tefach part of the esophagus is, and the Gemara is assuming now there's no hair in any of the esophagus, is called the keres. But since it's not the veshet, because that's called the keres apanimi, so how could you slaughter all the way down to the entirety of the esophagus until it gets hairy? Hairy is only in where the stomach starts. The esophagus is not part of the stomach parts, and meaning there's no hair over there. But even though there's no hair, well, you're saying you could cut, but amai, why? Ki kashachet bekeres kashachet, when you're slaughtering in the paunch, you're slaughtering on that what's called the keres apanimi. So Ema says the Gemara, say in Rav, no, actually, tefach bekeres samech leveshet, the a tefach of the stomach that's nearer the esophagus, which is the first tefach of the keres, zehu keres apanimi. That's the inner paunch, where that's the one where it has its most stringent halacha of if it has a hole, even the mashu is going to be a tarfus. Now, the reason why we call it the keres apanimi, if it's in the keres itself, is because it's actually concealed in a constrained area, which is between the ribs of the chest. That's what's called the inner paunch, because the rest of the paunch, that first stomach, is called chitzayna, because it's not enclosed in anything, and that is actually becomes a trefa only if the majority is torn, as we had learned in our Mishnah. But this is what the Gemara is saying would be called the keres apanimi, is the tefach in the keres that's samach leveshet. That's one approach the Gemara gives. So therefore, it's not difficult. You're right. You could slaughter up until it gets hairy, which only starts, as the Gemara is assuming now, in the keres itself, in the paunch. That's where you have these little hairs. But the esophagus, the entirety could be cut for the shechita. Or you might say more. If you want, says the Gemara, you could say as follows: Ki kama Rav. When does Rav say, as we had originally had the nusach, the text, that a tefach in the esophagus is called the keres? That was said betur in the ox, the master tfei, which is more hairy, where actually the hair does go into the esophagus a tefach worth. So therefore, yes, it's always that the shechita in the esophagus could be until the hairy place. In a regular animal, that's only in the keres. And then, yeah, that you could go ahead and cut all the way for the entirety of the esophagus. However, in the case that he's saying that a tefach is called the keres hapanimi, that was only said in the turah, in the ox, which that is where it's actually hairy there in that first tefach, and that's considered part of the keres, which is therefore you can't go ahead and cut in that last tefach of the esophagus. Now, continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, says, Turbetz haveshet, continue on this cord of the esophagus, which is the uppermost part of the esophagus. Shenitel kuloi milechi, if all of it was removed from the jaw, which that's where the esophagus is, right where the mouth of the animal, it's connected to the jaw where the food goes in, down the food pipe. So if it's entirely moved from the jaw, kasher, it's going to be valid, which the Gemara is shortly going to ask, but that's called ikur simanim that we learned in the Mishnah. It's if you ripped out the pipes from where it's connected, that's considered tarfus. He says it's kasher, and he says v'tana tuna. He says, and the tana of our Mishnah, which is later on the Fnandal Medalv, actually supports what I'm saying. The Mishnah says, nita lechi atachten kasher. If the lower jaw is removed, it's kasher. Now, since the jaw is removed, obviously that the simanim are ripped out because the simanim, the pipes, are connected to the lower jaw. However, Maskeb Rav Papa, as we had said, he asked, but v'ikr simanim, but this is called the ripping out of the pipes, which is tarfus. How could it be kasher? So the Gemara first asked, but Rav Papa, kasher masnitin. But according to Rav Papa, well, the Mishnah's kasher is difficult because the Mishnah says it's kasher. Because like the Mishnah said, nitalechi atachnin kasher. If you remove the lower jaw, it's still valid. It's not a tarfus. So that says the Gemara, no. We understand that Mishnah, Nundal, that is not difficult according to Rav Papa, because he'll tell you as follows. Ha, this halach of Shmuel that he's arguing is the akir ikure, is where we're talking about that you ripped out the simanim, totally the esophagus came out from the jaw and from the flesh. That's what he's saying. Well, that's ikur simanim. That's what he's disagreeing with Shmuel and saying that it should be a trefa. Ha, the Mishnah later on, the Naf Nun Dalid, is the igum igume, is talking about where they had removed the bones of the jaw from the flesh that is placed mi'ilavei samanim, that's on the pipes, that's between the jaw and the pipes, where you didn't rip out the pipes from where it's connected, because the pipes are actually attached to the flesh, to the muscles. The jaw could be removed and yet not have ikur samanim.
El Shmuel kasha. But Shmuel's difficult, this question of our papa, because according to him, Shmuel's talking about a case when you actually ripped out the pipes, because his wording was, Turbetz HaVeshet Shenitel. If the cord of the esophagus is taken away, which sounds like that only the esophagus was taken away, and meaning it was removed, and that it was detached from the flesh. But that's the Ikur Simonim, asked our papa. Says Gemara, you're right, Loi Teima Kuli, don't say in this teaching of Shmuel that we quoted that the entirety of the Turbetz HaVeshet was taken away. Ela Eimer Ruba, rather what he was saying is that it's going to be kosher. If a majority of it was removed from the jaw, it's still going to be kosher. Well, that asked the Gemara, but that's still contradicted because of Amar Rabba B'chon Amar Shmuel, someone else had said the name of Shmuel, Simon V'shenedal B'l'Berub and Trefa. If the pipes were in the majority shaken off from where it's connected, it's a Trefa, which contradicts the Halacha that Rav Nachman had said the name of Shmuel. So Amar Rav Shisha B'ri Davidi says, not difficult. Ha, the version of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel was the Ikapel Ikpule, which is when it was peeled off from the flesh. There, even if it's a majority, as long as not the whole thing, then that's still going to be kosher, that's going to be valid. But Hasim Omedibba Rabba B'chana is the Fruk Afruke, is where it was like something that was ripped off forcefully, where you tear off a little bit here, until you have the majority, that little bit that's still connected is not connected really so well. And therefore, that's not considered a connection, and therefore it's not going to become healthy again. That's considered a trefa, and that's what he said, Shendal de Beruben is going to be trefa. Again, but if it was one time, one contiguous thing, that even if it's Beruben, it's still going to be kosher. But again, if it's totally removed, yeah, that's like Rapab had pointed out, that's Ikr Simonim, and that would be a trefa. Mark continues with the halacha of a Mishnah that said, Upsigis ha-gargeris, and a severing of the trachea is also one of the 18 tarifas that would make the animal not kosher. So Tanu Bilut in the Brisa, Kama Pesegas HaGargeres, how much of the trachea has to be severed to be considered a treva? That says the Brisa Beruba in its majority. And that says the Gemara of a Kama Ruba, how much is a majority? So Rav Amma, he says, as Gittin Tamed Beis, it's Rav Oivya. It's the majority of its thickness. Now Rashi brings that there are those who want to say, it means the majority of the thickness of the wall of the pipe of the trachea, even if it didn't get to the airspace, to the cavity. Which Rashi says is mistaken, because if that would be the case, then would be saying that the trachea is more severe than the esophagus, which we know is not. Esophagus is more critical in the animal, because by the esophagus we say that if there's a hole in the outer membrane, without getting into the inner membrane, it's kosher until it goes into the cavity. So you see it has to enter the cavity, and here you're saying that what? That by the trachea, even if it doesn't go into the cavity, it's going to be a trefa? And that says Rashi, no. Must be, when we're talking about the majority of its thickness, which there's discussion in the Mefarshim and the commentaries exactly what does Rashi mean. However, the main idea is that when we evaluate in the majority, when we're evaluating the majority of its thickness, is that we're talking about the thickness of the trachea, which goes from the nape to the throat. Is that because if we'd be measuring from the head to the chest, that's the length of the trachea. If we're going with the width of the neck of the animal, meaning from right to left, so that's the width of the trachea. What we're talking about is the thickness of the neck. That's called the thickness of the trachea, which the Gemara is calling Rav Oivya, majority of its thickness. It's with this measurement that we evaluate the thickness of starting from the what's Rashi calls the tnuch, the lobe that's on the top, which is that if one's cutting, before he reaches the halfway point of the cavity of the trachea, he's already got the majority of the thickness, if you're counting together the walls with the cavity, because the wall of the trachea is thick on the top. And however, by the part of the throat, it's only a thin membrane. So therefore, generally when the trachea tears, it's going from top, bottom that it's going to tear. So therefore, if you're going to be counting from where it starts tearing, the thickness of the tnuch, which is the thick part of the cartilage of the trachea, it completes it for a majority. And then the minority that's left could even be half or even majority of the cavity of the trachea, but you already got the majority of it that was torn, that was severed, because you're considering the thickness, which includes the walls, the tnuch, which is thicker on the top than the bottom, to be considered already the rive. So you already have majority of it severed, if you're counting it, the majority of the thickness. Now, however, Amrila, that those that say, which is a machlikas Amaram, in what was it that Rav said, that no, it's Rav Chalala. It's not a treifa until the majority of its cavity was severed, and that is, we do not consider the thickness of the cartilage of the tnuch to supplement that and complement it to be the majority, which that's a more lenient interpretation for it, what's considered the tarfus of the majority of the severing of the trachea. Now, related to this halacha, which we actually brought differing opinions on what was it that Rav said, there was this severed trachea that slowly came into Rav, that came from the Rav to inspect to see if it's a treifa or not. So Yosef Kabadik Labarayvav, he was sitting and he was analyzing, inspecting it, to see if it was the majority of its thickness that it severed, which is the more stringent interpretation. So Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asal Rav, but his students said to Rav, the Madatein Rabbeinu, our teacher, you had taught us, Berev Chalala, it's only a treifa if it had severed the majority of its cavity, which again is further down than that of the thickness, because the thickness you have more already top-heavy on the top to be considered the majority. So Shadri, so Rav sent this animal, Lekameid the Rabba Babachana, in front of the Rabba Babachana, for him to go check it out to see if it's kosher or not. And Batka Barev Chalala, he inspected like the more lenient version in the majority of its cavity, Ba'achshra, and he said it's kosher, this animal, because it was not the majority of its cavity. And moreover, Vizavin Mina, Batlesa Istiri Peshiti Bistra. He even went ahead and he bought from its meat 13 simple Istari, which Istari is the name for the Sela. And when there's something called a Sela Medina, the provincial Sela, that's what we're calling the Peshiti. They're the more simple, they're the more lower value currency, because regular Istari are the more expensive, what's called a Sela Tsui, the Tyrene Sela. Because a sell is generally 4 dinar. However, what we're calling in the Gemara the simple istari, that's what's known as Sela Medin, the provincial Sela, which actually an eighth of a tsur Sela, which is, that therefore comes out to be only a half a dinar. As the Gemara says in Baba Kamen of Tzadi Amebeis, that a istara is a half of a zuz, which is called over there Sela Medina, which is not so much money, but he bought some of the meat that he himself had said it's kosher, and he even went and bought meat from it itself. Now, the question the Gemara asks is, Behech Rabban Hachi, how did Rabbi Bochana do this? Because Vatanu Lin the Braisa Chacham Shatime, if a sage had already said something is impure, in chave rishalatar, his colleague is not allowed to say it's pure. Asr, if one chaver had already said it's forbidden, in chave rishalatar, his colleague is not allowed to say it's permitted. So here would Rav said that it's forbidden because he was going with Rav Oivya, how could Rabbi Bochana go ahead and say it's mutter because of Rav Chalala? Says the Gemara, no, Shani Hacha, here it's different. The Rav loy Asr Meser, Rav didn't say it's forbidden because he had wanted to inspect it in the majority of its thickness, but his students didn't let him. So he sent in front of Rabbi Bochana, but he didn't say it's forbidden, and that's why Rabbi Bochana could say it's permitted. But the Gemara has a different question. But since this was meat that had to be evaluated by a sage to see that it's permitted, it wasn't such an obvious permitted thing, it had to be permitted. So how did Rabbi Bochana himself eat from it? The pasuk says in Yecheskel, that Yecheskel Hanavi said, V'omer aha Hashem alekim, and I said, oh, whoa, Hashem, God, hini nafshi lemutama. Why he asked me to do this thing, as the pasuk says over there, that he had to do something repulsive? Hini nafshi lemutama. Behold, my soul is not impure. V'nevelu trefu leichalti min uri v'at'ata. I never ate something that was a dead carcass or that was mold. I never ate from my youth up until now. V'leibo b'fi b'sar pigel, and it never came into my mouth meat that was from pigel. Which the explanation is a more deeper interpretation, because these are all obvious isurim that there's nothing for him to talk about. Rather, hini nafshi lemutama, when it says, "Behold, my soul was not impure," means shloihi harti bayoyim lovu de tuma balayla. I didn't think impure thoughts during the daytime that would have made me impure during the nighttime. And when he said with nevela treifa leichalta, I didn't eat nevela and treifa, it means shloihalti basa kais kais me'ilma. I never ate from meat that they said cut. Which was because it was about to die, and they had to make sure that they should cut it before it dies, which is questionable status. V'lei bo b'fi basar pigel, and never came in mouth the meat of pigel, which means, and this is the point that we're bringing up, shlei chalti mebehema shahari b'chacham. I never ate from meat which the sage had to go ahead and permit, which is related to the concept of pigel, which is in machshava here. So you have to think about it; it's not so simple. The name Reb Nosson, they said, it meant something else. It meant, you didn't eat from an animal which didn't have its Kohanic gifts yet, which is not an absolute prohibition. But one thing we see is that something that a sage had to permit is not something appropriate for an honorable personality like Rabbi Bachana. So how did he go himself and eat from it? Says the Gemara, no. Hani Mili, when did we say that if Harib HaChacham, a sage should not eat from, is milsa de talya b'svara. It's something that's contingent on logic. Where there you could still be in doubt and say, maybe he didn't say such a great svara. Although the sage paskin, then you could eat from it, but a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do that. But here, Rabbi Bachana agamari samach. Here he was relying on his tradition that he received from his teacher that the severing of the trachea is in the majority of its cavity. Now, it's only by something that's contingent on svara, for example, like the halacha of makifin bereya, which is that you make a hole near the hole in the lung to see if it was a problem or not, where you could say that maybe he didn't compare it very well. Or like when it has different discolorings, where you could say, some are kosher, some are trefa, and maybe someone's going to make a mistake in the appearance of the colors. That's where you say, okay, a sage shouldn't eat from something that a chacham had to see it and think about it and permit it. But here, which relying on tradition, that's a clear-cut thing. There's no problem about eating, even though the sage was the one that permitted it. Now, the Gemara has a different question on this incident. But he should not have bought from the meat simply because of suspicion that people shouldn't say, oh, because he permitted it for him, he gave him a cheap price, so it looks like he's taking payment for his psak, which is inappropriate. It's kind of like learning the brisa. Says Dana Sadin, if someone adjudicated a court case regarding a field or a certain cloak between two people, and Zika v'chayef, someone won and someone lost, Timi v'tir, or he made something tummy and something tar, or Asa v'hitir, he made something forbidden or permitted, or v'chena edim she'idu, or let's say witnesses that testify on a certain field or a certain cloak that it's somebody's. Kulan rishon lika, all of them, the witnesses, the judges, they're allowed to buy that object from the person who won that case. But the sage just said, harchik minakir, distance yourself from something that's repulsive that people shouldn't say, because he made him win, so he gave him a cheap good price. And things similar like that, stay away. So over here too, where he's the one that permitted for him, he's going to go buy from him now. People are going to say, okay, he gave him a good price because he's the rabbi. He gave him something permitted. That's not appropriate to do. Says, that's only a problem of suspicion by something that's sold through evaluation. It's something that's relative. It's not something that has an absolute price. There, you might think he gave him a good price. But here, meat is sold by the weight. And that's clear cut. They see that everyone gets the same price, and therefore there's no suspicion to buy a certain amount of meat for that amount of money. As the Gemara says, Kiha, as the Gemara says, Derava, Shara Tarfasa, as there was such an incident that Rava permitted an animal that was in doubt of it being a trefa. And Bezav Min Abisra, and as like in the previous incident, he bought meat from the animal that he himself said is kosher. Now Amarle Basra of Chizda, but the daughter of Chizda, his wife, said to him, Abba Shari Bukhra, my father, when the king would bring in front of him a firstborn animal to see if it's blemished, which because he can't eat it until it's blemished, when my father would permit it, he would not go ahead and buy from the meat of that firstborn that he says is permitted to be eaten. Because a firstborn animal in current times, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, when it's unblemished, it's not fit for anything. It's only when it's blemished, then it could be slaughtered and eaten as chulin, because if not, it's slaughtered and cut shabachutz. Now, actually, Rav Chizda himself was a kohen. Now, one thing is, the father didn't eat from that bechor. So how are you going and you're buying from the meat that you permitted? So Rabbi Setar, Hanimili Bukhra. That's only by a firstborn animal. The Ashuma Mizdavin, because actually, a firstborn animal is, even in the blemished state, when it has utility in today's times, is only sold in evaluation and not by weight. As the Gemara says in Mecharis of Lamanav Manav, all Psule Makdash, all carbonates that were blemished and that they could then be sold, they could be sold in the marketplace with weights, except for the firstborn animal and the Meiser and the animal that's the tithe animal. So therefore, that's where it's problematic, is that suspicion. People are going to think they gave him a good price because it's not an absolute price. But Hacha Maskele Mucha, here he told his wife, here everyone sees that he's taking a litra, a certain amount of meat, for a dinner, just like everybody else, and he's giving the money right away. So therefore, the weight is proving. So obviously, no one's going to have suspicion. Now, Mayik, what is it that maybe people would still suspect and say, hey, there's something going on over here that he's doing for him a favor because he made it permitted for him? Mishum umtzim al yasa. Maybe they're going to say, oh, because he gave me the choicest piece of the meat. And that says, Rabbi, no, kol yema, every single day they also give me that honor. That umtzim al yasa is definitely, they always sell me the choicest piece of meat. And therefore, there's no suspicion over here. And if there's no problem for me to buy from the meat, that I actually permitted myself. Now, related to this Gemara, Amar of Chizda, as we quoted him before, or as we said, the integrity that he had regarding the something that, whether it's treifa or not, and he stayed himself away from that. Ezeu Talmud Chacham. So he says, who's considered a Talmudic scholar, which Tosis explains it, like the Gemara Bava Metzia says, regarding someone that, although there's no siman, that we return it to him, his lost object with Tvias Ein, if he just recognizes his object, which is a certain amount of integrity we give to the Talmudic scholar, is Zeha Roya Treifa La'atzmai. Is if, when he has a doubtful siman of tarfas in his animal, and he sees reasons to say it's forbidden, and he sees reasons for it to be permitted, and he's not concerned about it, and he makes his own animal forbidden, that he sees it as a treif of himself, that's a man with integrity, that's a person that we can return as Aveda with just tvias ayin. So to Vamar Rav Chizda says another teaching, he says, Ezehu, who qualifies for the pasuk in Mishlei, that soinim atonas yichya, the one who hates gifts, will live. So he says here too, Zeharoya treifa l'atzma. This is someone who sees in his own animals, he sees a simon treifas to say it's not kosher. So such a person most definitely hates the gifts of others, because even on his own stuff, he's not lustful and jealous to go ahead and make sure that it's going to stay permitted. No, he'll say it's usser. So if even his own stuff, he's not going to be possessive. For sure, if other people's not going to be possessive, that's the type of person that sayin matan eslichya. Now, continuing on the theme of this pasuk, Darish ma'azuch mishmeid Rav Chizda. In the name of Rav Chizda, it says, "Kol mi shekari v'shayna." Anyone who learns Chumash and learns Mishnayos, v'roya treifa la'atzmoy, and even in his own animals, he'll see and he'll say that it's a treifa. And v'shimish talmid chacham, and he attends to Talmudic scholars where he learns Gemara from them, which is what actually explains the reasoning of the Mishnayos and resolves the contradictions in the contradictory Mishnayos, which is known as Talmud. Allah akasav aymer, on him the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Yigia kapecha kiseichel." The toil of your hands that you will eat, meaning such a person is not jealous of even his own stuff, because his own stuff will say it's a treifa. For sure, he does not lust after those of other people's to steal and to rob. So he's only eating from the toil of his own hands. Ashrecha v'tayvlach. You're praiseworthy and it's good for you. Now, Rav Zvidam, he says, Zeicha v'neichel shnei olamas. He merits and he inherits two worlds. This world and the world to come. As he explains, the pasuk says, Ashrecha v'tayvlach. Ashrecha b'ayil mazeh, that you're gliklich, like it says, that you have the strength and you have the mazel b'ayil mazeh in this world, v'tayvlach el mabah, and it's good for you in the world to come. Now the Gemara actually illustrates that Rabbi Lazar, kav meshadrulei b'bein nasi amidi, when they would send him a gift from the house of the Resh Galusa, of the Nasi, of the prince, lo shakel, he wouldn't take. V'chav mezamnilei, when they would invite him to eat by them, lo yazli, he wouldn't go. Amma, he would tell them, lo boy mar de'echi, doesn't the master, you the Nasi, want me to live? So like the Pasuk says, v'sonim atan nasiach, the one who hates the gifts lives, because living is giving, is like a be'er mayim chaim, is a source of coming from the self, but someone who's taking is considered dead. And therefore, don't you want me to live? I don't want to take. Reb Zeira ki mechadrilei. However, interestingly, when they would send him a gift, lo yishakli, wouldn't take. Kev mesamli, when they would invite him, easily he would go, because Amma, he would say, as we continue to tab of Memheim and Alf, is shekurihu de misyakribi. They are honored with the fact that I'm eating by them. And it's their benefit, it's not a gift. Because sometimes taking is giving.